Lord's been speaking to my heart about the heart. And I listened to different people. I read a book. And so I just asked the Lord to show me how I could just relate a message to you that would touch your heart and change your heart, because all of us need change in our hearts. And so before I begin, I'd like us to make a declaration in regards to the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles, hold them up high, and we're going to make this declaration. I declare the Bible to be the inspired Word of God. I read it to make me wise. I obey it to honor God. It teaches me to walk with God. It leads me into victory. And I hold it dear to my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that your word is more powerful than anything in this world. And we thank you, Lord, for its truth that can change our hearts and make us to be the people that you want us to be. So I ask your Holy Spirit that you would speak through me. May it not be just words that I speak, but may your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and cause us to make changes and also to grow in the things of God. We just thank you for your word that continually is written in the heavens even, and it's for eternity. So Lord, now write it into our hearts so that we can live it and obey it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a verse I want to share with you. It's found in Proverbs 4:23. And in the New King James Version, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." And the New Living Translation, it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And the Message Bible, the translation says, "Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust." It's interesting to note that there have been a lot of real heart issues. Heart goes pitter-patter. Anyways, there have been, even in the last year, several athletes that have died. A hockey player that all of a sudden had a heart attack, fell down, he was dead. In the past, there's been even basketball players that have played well, and all of a sudden, a heart attack, and they're gone. None of it was detected at first. And it wasn't until after that when they examined the person, found that there was something wrong in their heart. They couldn't see it, but life was taken from them suddenly. And I believe so much is true in regards to our spiritual heart. Many things go undetected. And we wonder why things go the way they do, or we say the things we thought we wouldn't ever say. And then we repeat ourselves over and over again. As I've been just reading, I've just been overwhelmed by the fact that our heart is so much a part of what we do every single day. Now, I'm not even going to cover the subject adequately. I'll tell you that right now. So if you want to take notes or watch a video later, but do your own research. Go to the Word of God. Look up heart or words that relate to the heart. And trust that somehow God will just make it real to your own heart. And so I'm going to start with several different things here. I'm going to hang up four gunny sacks here, and they're going to represent different things in regards to our heart. Trust everything works here, okay? We'll get it here. Great. There we are. It's working. This is the first time. Hey, it's going to work. See, I'm a farmer, so I thought a gunny sacks would work good here. Okay. The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. What does it mean, desperate? It means it's really, really crazy evil in our hearts. And the Word of God throughout the Old Testament and New Testament just illustrates it over and again, the evilness in our heart. And it says in the Word of God that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so many times we may say things and think, that come from? Well, it's a heart issue. And sometimes we're not even aware of what's happening in our heart. And then also we need to recognize that Jesus said, out of the heart come murder, adultery, and all evil things. I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of scripture. I'm going to be sharing the scripture so you can look them up later for time's sake. Anyways, and then we speak about the hardness of the heart. And even you say, somebody will say, well, he's heartless. So there's all kinds of expressions that we talk about the heart. But it's that inner life, that heart that God has given to us, that God has breathed into our lives. Yet Jesus said that out of the heart should also flow joy and peace. And he said you can't have both bitter and sweet water at the same time. So how can we resolve these issues that are in our heart? I want to share four things in regards to issues of the heart. First of all, we look at guilt. I'm going to put them all up here, then you can see them as I go along. The second one is anger. The third, greed. And the fourth, jealousy. What is guilt? It's sometimes that feeling that you've done something wrong. I believe that when we're born, God gives us a consciousness, a conscience that needs to be educated. And it said we can have even a seared conscience. We can do something wrong for so long that we think it's okay. But guilt comes when we've done something wrong. I've said something wrong to my wife, and all of a sudden I feel guilty. Or I've said, I've done something wrong and I feel guilty. And with that also comes a sense that there's a debt to be paid. I owe an apology to my wife what I have done wrong. And it's so easy sometimes to take that and say, well, it really didn't matter. Ignore it. You can ignore things for a long time till finally they don't seem to hurt you. But I'll tell you what. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. And when you're in prayer time, all of a sudden you'll be reminded. And I remember one time being upset that my wife told me to go and get my car fixed. And finally it broke down and I happened to be on a hill in the garage and I got it fixed. But, well, isn't it crazy? Satan will give you great ideas and just really be mad at my wife. Right? And the Lord said, you keep your mouth shut. And be thankful that she even told you to get your car fixed. What we do sometimes, we can ignore it. But you know what? It's like a little seed. It grows. And then pretty soon my wife did something wrong again. And so, you know what? After a while, I thought she did wrong. But you know what? That little seed begins to grow and said, well, I have ought against her about this and that and the other thing. And one day I yelled at her and I said, where did that come from? Why? Because I didn't take and apologize and say, love to what Pastor Mark says, I was wrong, you're right, will you forgive me? Those are hard words when you know you're in the wrong. But you know what? We need to deal with guilt. The second thing is anger. What is it? It's that feeling that somehow my rights have been violated. or something has been done wrong to me. And so I hold anger in my heart. And so what happens is it begins to grow. This is one of the most dangerous things is anger. You know what? Nobody may even sometimes notice it. But it comes out in inappropriate times many times. It does. Because there's a payment to be made. Somebody owes me an apology now. So I let it build up and build up till I explode inside. And you know what? The person that really should have given me an apology maybe didn't even know they needed to give me an apology. But I'm going to blast at somebody else. So anger is sometimes so hidden. And I'm dealing with it even in my own life. I'm a German, so I have this tendency of exploding. You know what? God's dealing with my heart not to let it go as far as giving an explosion. Then the third thing is greed. What is it? It's that feeling that somehow I should have more. You know, there's that entitlement feeling even in our society. Government owes me a living. And even the Bible talks about covetousness, wanting. James even says, why do we have wars? Because we want, can't get it, so we fight for it. And so, again, it can go undetected. It's a heart issue. The last thing is jealousy. What is it? It's in a sense wanting to have something I can't have. That somehow I'm not adequately being looked after. And you know what? That can translate into all kinds of things. The boss isn't paying me enough. God, why did this person get a brand new car? I've driven an old car all my life. I've served you, and I don't get a new car. You know what? There's a lot of jealousy and anger against God because he doesn't always answer our prayers the way we think he should answer them. So we have a jealousy in our heart. I've had people come and say, well, you know what? I asked for healing. God never healed me, so I'm mad at God. Honest. It comes out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, how are we going to deal with all these issues? So, first of all, we look at guilt. One of the things we need to do is make some changes. How do I find forgiveness? By confessing I've done wrong and asking forgiveness. So we can cover it up with confession. I forgot one other item I'm going to start doing here too. When it comes to guilt. You know what? I can drop some in here. You know what? Each one of these things, put some rocks in. You know what? And I even got some fancy looking ones. Well, you know, God, really, I've been really good, you know. I should get compensated for more. God, you know what? I asked for things and I'm just not happy with what you're giving me. Well, you know what? I'm greedy. So I just said, well, you know what? The boss isn't paying me much. I'll just take some of his stuff home. I'm angry. Well, he kicked me in the shin, so I'm going to kick him back. And when it comes to guilt, I'm going to take this off for a minute. You know what? I deserve to hang on to this. I'll forgive, but I'm not going to forget. And you know what? You can keep filling up these bags with all kinds of excuses why you need to be guilty. Guilty because somehow they said the wrong thing, so I said the wrong thing back to them. Repay evil for evil. Angry because somehow the other person cheated me, so I'm going to cheat him back. I'm greedy. You know what? The neighbor has some nice stuff. I'm just going to think about it, and maybe I'll borrow it and I won't return it. That works good. Then I've got, I'm jealous. Somehow I just kind of feel jealous that God answered his prayers, and so I'm going to pray evil on him instead. Pray that God will destroy his car because he got a new one and I didn't. Okay, now we're going to get, how are we going to fix these things? Confession. It's so important that I acknowledge my sin. He says, if I acknowledge my sin, I'm going to find forgiveness. You know what? Or I can take this bag here and put it on my shoulder and walk around with it. Oh, man. And you know what? I can sort of confess. Said, you know, with my mouth, but in my heart, really, you know, I really haven't forgiven yet. I can carry this around for the rest of my life. But you know what? God wants us to deal with it. I might even put it down for a little while. It won't bother me. But then I'll pick it up again because it's with me. It sticks with me because my heart goes wherever I go. Anyways. Thing is forgiveness. Anger needs forgiveness. I haven't been treated right. Feel somebody's done me wrong. I need to be forgiven. Or I need to forgive, I mean. I'll tell you a story, a true story. There was a conflict in when I was just a young pastor that I thought I knew it all, you know. And there was some conflict in the church. And so I decided I would fix it. So I went to somebody's home and kind of blamed them for all this kind of stuff. But I felt guilty. But then God said I was supposed to ask forgiveness. Now that was hard. That was hard. And I just postponed it. Kept postponing it. And then I was shoveling snow and in the middle of winter. This was in Fernie. And as I was looking up, when you look up long enough, it looks like you're going up and the snowflakes are, you know, you feel like you're going up. Anyways, God spoke and said, "Be still and know that I am God." And you know, I just wept. I just stood there and wept and said, "Okay, God." I went and I asked forgiveness. You know what? God corrected the business after that. I didn't have to do anything to do it. So what I'm saying is forgiveness is... What am I going to do with this? I've got guilt. Now I have... still a little bit unforgiveness. As I said before, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. You know what? God is the only one who can totally forget. Manfred, would you do me a favor? There's a little sign I want you to flip over and maybe put the flowers to one side and just put it to one side. Just maybe put them there. Good. And I want you to flip this little thing over. Thank you. The scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far removes your transgressions. How far is that? Have any of you flown around the world? Okay. Did you ever find the west? If you keep going west, you keep going. Do you find west going east? No, you don't. You never find where the end is. You just keep going. That's God's forgetfulness. So now what am I going to do with this? I got guilt. You know what? I'm going to say, okay, God, I'm going to leave it with you. And he forgives and forgets. He doesn't hold me guilty anymore. All the anger that I had, I'm going to give it in his. And I said, you know what? I'm going to keep a short account of things that I do and pray, Lord, keep my heart pure and holy. Every day, get up in the morning, I said, Lord, if I've hurt anyone, please, Lord, bless them. And I forgive everyone that's hurt me. You know what? You start with a brand new slate every single day. Isn't that good? It's sea of his forgetfulness. And so the next time I kind of want to drop a stone and said, you know, whoops, the sack isn't there anymore. Hallelujah. I feel peace in my heart. I don't have to hang on to it. I can let it go. Then the next thing as we get to greed. What are you going to do with greed? I'll tell you what. We have more things in our houses than we know what to do. Amen? Thank you. That's what it is. If you took for the next year, took one item every day and gave it away, would you be impressed? No. My wife keeps saying every time you bring something in, you ought to take something out. That's why our storages get so full, you know. And so, you know what? How are we going to deal with greed? Generosity. Learning to give. You know, one thing I've learned is this, that with God's, in living in God's economy, the more that you give, the more that you're blessed, the more that comes back. And it doesn't always have to be in dollars and cents. It's the fact that you have peace in your heart. You have joy in your soul. And you're able to reach out. You know, sometimes we feel, you know what, I got to, you know, a missionary has a need and said, well, you know, I just got $20 in my pocket, but I want to go for lunch. So I'll keep my $20 in my pocket. If God says give it, give it. Because someone may pay your meal. God will look after you. It's that feeling that somehow we're going to lose out. Never. We'll never lose out. Never. God will always supply our needs according to his riches, not to my riches. And I'll tell you what. I just want to tell you, if you're not tithing, you're missing the blessing of God. Because he hasn't given us all these things to consume it on ourselves. We are to reach out and bless people around you. I'll tell you what. There's people that have been absolutely overwhelmed by tithing. And you know what? I had someone come to me just recently. I gave some tithing and I never got healed. I never got blessed, so I'm quitting tithing. I said, what an attitude. No wonder you can't get blessed if somehow you have this greed in your heart. And you carry it around with you. You can. Said, you know, I just got to always have something extra. Tell you, if you're really having problems with it, I say take a couple weeks off and go to Mexico. Right, Heather and Chris? They don't have even a quarter of what we have. And you know what? They're filled with joy. That's one of the things we found when we went to Mexico. All we took was some soccer balls and clothes. And you know what? They were as thrilled as could be. We'd gotten a Ferrari. Really. I mean, they were so thrilled with what they got. So it's a heart issue. I can't see your heart, but God can see your heart. What is it that holds, makes you hang on to stuff? It's stuff, really. God's had to do with my own heart, honestly. And it's not easy when you start cleaning out your storage and you think, well, I still need this and I still need that. You know what? I've soon realized that that's why they have Canadian Tire. They have everything you need. So when you give some stuff away, there's still lots there. And they're making it by the thousands. And sometimes you go to the dollar store, it's even cheaper yet. So why do we need all this stuff? It's a heart issue. And I said, Lord, help me to be released. As my dad was coming to the end of his days, this was his prayer. Lord, pry me loose from this world so that when the time comes, I can go. And when the time came, he was ready. He had a stroke on a Monday, and on a Friday, everybody visited him. And this was his attitude. He said, just like in the Old Testament, you put your feet up into your bed and you go. And they left on Friday. On Friday, everybody left. And by the time my mom got home, the phone call was, he's gone. He's not really gone. He's just been transported to a new world. Hallelujah. So let's pry ourselves loose from some of those things. Let's get peace in our heart. God's been telling me to get rid of stuff. Boy, I got rid of a lot of stuff. God's helped me. Every day when I clean, I said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Because you know what? It's a heart issue. And having grown up on the farm, we didn't have everything. And so you hang on to everything, every piece of wire and piece of wood. But eventually you have to let it go. So what am I going to do with this? Well, I have to throw it in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Hallelujah. It's gone. I can get rid of that greed. When I want to hang on to something, boy, it's sure amazing. I want to just hang on to this. You let go. Whoops. It's gone. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you. Okay. Now, what are we going to do with jealousy? Jealousy is again, something that's very strange. It's really strange because often we're not even aware of what's sort of happening in our own heart. So how do I deal with that? How do I deal with jealousy? You know what? When somebody has gotten something new, what am I going to do? I'm going to celebrate with them. Said, thank the Lord they got a new car. They got a new house. Amen? Let's celebrate. And if I don't get my prayers answered, I'm still going to celebrate and thank the Lord. Amen? You know, it's that place in our heart that we need to keep clean so that we don't let jealousy build up. And it's in our society all the time. You know what? Somebody gets one thing and we think, oh, maybe I should have that too. You know what? It really bothers me to get a newspaper and there's about 4, 5, 6 flyers with 3 or 4, 6 pages, and they're all telling you, you need this, you need that. You know what? We don't need anything really sometimes. I said, you know what? Our greatest need is to go to the Lord in prayer. God is jealous for us. He is. He sent his own son so that he could redeem us back from the enemy. We ought to be jealous for him too. That the enemy doesn't take and steal us and our things away from him. You know, like the things that really are important. You know, there's a book that was written, talked about the church. Because so many people don't go to church anymore because somehow they've been hurt in church. They have allowed anger to fill their hearts. They've allowed even jealousy to fill their minds until, you know what? I can do better without the church. No, you can. Jesus died for the church, and he is the head of the church. If I've got a problem, I need to go to him. I remember one time my dad just sharing and saying, you know, the pastor had said something that he didn't agree with, and other people were upset, and my dad was going to talk to the pastor, but he went to prayer, and he said, God told him, I can deal with him. You just pray for him. And you know what? Things got turned around. I remember the morning that our pastor got up and he said, I'm sorry for what I said and did. You know what? God does a better job than I could ever do. And I've failed many times in trying to fix it. But you know what? God is gracious and gentle and good and kind. And that's what he wants, how he wants us to live. So that we're not running around with all this baggage in our heart. Yes, I've had jealousy in my heart. I've been affected by all of these here. I have. And that doesn't mean now I'm perfect because I'm preaching it. I'm only preaching because God's word deals with it in my own way. And God is going to deal with each one of you in whatever way he needs to do it. If you feel pricked in your heart, it's not because something I said. It's because the Holy Spirit wants to make you the person he wants us to be. He wants us to become Christ-like. And the more that we abide by his word, the more we'll become what he wants us to be. So what am I going to do with this jealousy? Again, throw it in God's sea of forgetfulness. Again, if jealousy comes up, oh man, oops, it's gone. Wow. I'm going to get a little angry. Oops, it's gone. When it's in his everyday, I need to make it a habit every day to deal with the things in my life. If I don't, then I'm carrying that burden. And as somebody said, if you sling mud, you get dirty. You do. Has anybody worked with tar? I tell you, if you've worked with tar, you get it. You think, oh, I'm not going to get it on me. Before you know it, on your fingers. Before you know it, on your pants. And if you don't watch, you even get it on your face. So what I'm saying is, let's deal with those heart issues. Because eventually they come out. They show themselves. And so we're going to believe that God is going to do a work in each of our hearts. I like that. I like that garbage can. You know, it's the biggest garbage can I got here. The dumpster. As we go on living our Christian lives, I know that I haven't covered the whole subject. This is only a little piece of what God is trying to teach us. So I want us to, I know that it's early, but I believe it's time just to stop, allow the music group to come up and do some singing. I want to make the altars open for you. The reason being is sometimes we just need time alone, or even come and kneel on the front benches, or kneel at the front here. You know why? We need time with God. We have so much time for everything, but so little time with God. Or even sit where you're at and just take some time to commune with God and ask him, is there any area in my heart that needs to be shown? Had some of these people had ultrasounds before they died, they might have found the problem. So I'm saying, God, you have the greatest ultrasound because you see my heart. Show me if something that needs some repair, some fixing. And God is the greatest healer. He's the greatest surgeon. When he cuts something out, he always puts something good in. Amen? He does. He never will confuse us with issues then. And so many times I've been so wrong. And you know what? Well, when I get my heart right, you know what? It does. It helps me to keep right with others that are around me. It's not because I'm perfect. It's because as we deal with those issues that are in our heart, God will help us deal with those issues that are around us as well. So as we come to the close of the service, I want us just to pause and allow God to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, I've delivered the message the best I know how. But I realize it's your Holy Spirit that will quicken the word in people's hearts. Lord, it's not easy sometimes to have the ultrasound in our own hearts, realizing, oh God, that we fall short of the glory of God. And yet you want so much to let your glory be shown in our lives. Lord, where we have guilt, we know sometimes Satan can put it on us. But Lord, help us to find courage in our heart to ask forgiveness, but also not to let Satan put false guilt on us. Lord, if there's dealings of anger, which is the most devastating of all because it can turn to rage and can be so destructive, help us to stop, listen to what you're saying to us, and not let anger take a hold of our lives. But find, oh God, that you're ready to deal with us and not let Satan destroy us through letting anger get out of control. Then we think, Lord, of the greed that, oh my, Lord, forgive us sometimes for all the stuff we have and for spending money that we don't have to spend, getting into debt on things that we don't have to get into debt with. So, Lord, I pray your church would be awakened to give to the cause of Christ, to see the body of Christ being built, the missionaries being able to do their work that you've called them to do. And Lord, help us to be generous. Help us not to be in a greedy mode. And Lord, lastly, the jealousy. If ever we've thought wrong of you, that somehow, Lord, you were inadequate to meet our needs, forgive us. Cleanse our heart to know that you're more than able to meet all the needs that we have. And so that, Lord, we'll be less connected to the world and more connected with you, O Lord. And so, Lord, we just ask that we would celebrate every day. Everything that we have, we want to celebrate. Lord, even the very fact that we have running water, that we have hot water, that we have cars, that we have homes, we have stores that we can go to. And yet, Lord, so many of the world, even as they're running from all these things. We think of Iraq, Iran, and Syria, Lord, and Afghanistan. Many of these Christians suffering, yet we have it all. Lord, help us to believe that, God, you're going to meet their needs too. So we lift them up to you. Minister to them. Let them know your presence and bless them. So, Lord, we open up these altars, and may our hearts be open to you. Even where the seats, may this be a sanctified place, Lord, that where your presence would dwell. And we'd go from this place having been not only touched but changed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What if said here, if you say, well, I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna be determined to not be so angry. I tell you what, you'll fail right now. Unless you say, God help me, you're not gonna change, because it's a heart issue. And only God can deal with the heart. I can't deal with heart. That's why, like, I've taken psychology and counseling, and I've been to a secular counselor. And one of the times I took somebody there, the first thing that the man said, quit going to church. Wow, the very thing we need. You know, what I'm saying is, because it's a heart issue. You can't do with your mind or even with your will. You need God's help, your Holy Spirit, to make those changes in your heart. God bless you. Thank you for allowing me to share this word with you.